Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 is where I'll start. I think Jesus personally tells us 13 different times to be careful about false prophets coming. And it's very common in the Bible, and I don't think most Christians are worried about that. I think they think of a false prophet, they got a Hollywood point of view, and some guy's going to look evil and have pointed eyebrows and stuff like that. A false prophet comes like a sheep. He'll look like one of us. It'll be someone who come in the church and try to make the church wrong, and you'll look at him and say, why are you doing this? And they look like they'll be your friend, they'll be nice people. And it's hard to say it's a false prophet, but they are. And they'll come into Open Door. The Bible says that. We'll get them in our church, and they'll try to take us from Bible doctrine. That'll happen here. And the Bible tells a little bit about how to know them, and that's just a background of the subject. We're actually talking about by their fruits you know them. In verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. But we had that in my home church. We had people come into church and try to undermine the pastor and change the doctrine and teach your own little pet doctrines and try to change what the fundamentals of the Bible and stuff. And didn't get anywhere because we had a solid church who knew doctrine. The people in the church knew doctrine and things. And they started trying to have secret Bible studies with people in the church and cause strife, and it wasn't pretty. But they went on and moved to the next church to try to cause problems in because they couldn't do it. I always wonder, people who come in and try to take what somebody else has built is never good. Build yourself something if you want to. Don't try to destroy what somebody else is doing. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men that gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, whereby their fruits ye shall know them. I continue to Matthew chapter 12, and just another verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. All right, let's pray today and ask God to speak to us. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these verses in Matthew. And Lord, we read many verses all over the Bible. But we thank you for the clarity of these verses. By their fruits we know them. Thank you, Lord, for the people of God who've come to hear the message today. And I pray they be fed by the word of God and by the Spirit of God. We need your help. We thank you, Lord. These are precious souls, Lord. They're good people, and they want to grow and learn and are hungry, Lord. And how many people have come to our church? How many visitors? How many people from pastors who've come through or preached in our church or different things? And they said, boy, the people are listening. They really want to learn something. And Lord, that's a desire that I think you want. And you said those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. And I pray that'd be the case today, that me and who I am and my flesh and my weakness as a human would not hinder your word going forth powerfully, but your spirit would speak in a powerful way and in a true way. We'd rightly divide the word of truth and be helped and personally encouraged. We ask you to help this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bible is a book full of about trees and fruits. Genesis, and very early in Genesis 2, we find a tree in the garden with a fruit, a bad fruit, and that fruit affected all of mankind. It affects us today. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you turn to Revelation, we're not going to, but if you turn to Revelation 22, you'd find a tree that bears fruit every month and for the healing of the nation and a tree of life in heaven. And it's got fruits, and these they bear fruit that makes you live forever. And there's a lot about fruit in the Bible. There's a lot about fruit in Jesus' life, and he made an issue of fruit and trees. And in Matthew chapter 7, it says that, you know, a good tree can't bring forth evil fruit. If I go out and I have an orchard in my yard, and I think we have 14 trees, and if I went out in my yard and I got a plum tree or my apple tree or my cherry tree or whichever one, or my peach tree. Why I bought a peach tree in Washington, I'll never know. If I go out that and I go to the cherry tree, for example, I'm not going to get anything poison off of it. If I get one cherry off it, I know it's a cherry tree. And a cherry tree can't bring out poison berry because it's a good tree. Likewise, if I go find a bush and that bush, somebody eats it and says, that looks yummy, and they eat a bunch of it and then they fall over and die, I'm not going to say, you know what, they probably just got the unlucky fruit, I'm going to eat some. I'm not going to do that either, because a corrupt tree brings forth corrupt fruit, it says there. And a good tree can't bring forth bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bring forth good fruit, so you know a tree by its fruit. If my apple tree has an apple on it, I will say, but look, I got an apple tree. We have several trees about this big that popped up this year, maybe a little smaller than that, and they're right between our apple and our cherry tree. And I don't know which one they are, but I have a scientific way of telling. The first time a fruit comes out, if it's an apple, what kind of tree do you think it'll be?
Cherry.
That's right. That shows some intelligence we have here. And that's why I preach, because people are not very smart. And if it brings forth a cherry, outside of Matthew, what kind of tree you think that'll be? Cherry tree. You know it by its fruit. You can tell a blackberry because it brings forth blackberry. You can tell all the different fruit. You can tell a grape by grapes. You just tell by what it brings out of you. And the Bible equates that in our lives. In 1 Timothy 6 talks about this. False prophets, you'll know them because they're greedy. It's about money. And it talks about that very specifically, and it says they will be after you, they'll do things for filthy lucre's sake. Pastor, you say that guy who talks about TV on TV about money all the time, you saying he might be a false prophet? I didn't say that. You just said that. I'll amen you, maybe. If that's all it's all about all the time, and God's going to make you healthy and wealthy and all this stuff, but they talk about Jesus, of course. They come in sheep's clothing. They come in sheep's clothing. But when it becomes all about money, it's a sign of a false prophet. You know them by their fruits. You know them by their lifestyle. And there's an immorality that comes with it. And again, we're not in 1 Timothy 6 because we're not focusing on false prophets. But you can read that in your own, and it'll give a description of what false prophets' morality will do. and we have that. And I think we see that sometimes. And not everybody on TV is a false prophet. But you can know them partially by greedy of filthy lucre. And when Nightline does a report on them and finds out they're staying in hotel rooms that cost $28,000 a night, literally, then you think, wait a minute, that's a lot of God's money they're burning. And that's strange. They live that way in a $10 million house. And we have that around here too, by the way. I've buzzed their gate. Sorry, I can't get to their door because they live in mansions. Some preachers live around here. But false prophets, you know them by their fruit. And you know people by their fruit. And then in Matthew 12, it's not talking about false prophets, but it's talking about people who blaspheme the Holy Spirit and people who aren't of God and people who are evil. And it says you'll know them by their fruits. You know people by what they bring out. Fruit in the Bible is what comes out of you. It's your actions. As a matter of fact, in James, James 3 talks about the tongue, and it refers to fruit, and what comes out of your tongue tells what's on the inside of your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so things come out because of what's in you. And fruit is what's in your life. If you have love, that's a fruit that comes out. And that comes from a certain thing that we'll read in a moment here. If you have bitterness, the Bible says it's a fruit that comes out of you. And so what comes out of you, whether in your language, in your feelings, in the way you talk to people, in your violence, in your thoughts, fruits come out of you. And that's what the Bible calls. You might call them good works or bad works. You might call them those things. But God calls them fruits because they aren't willed. They are produced by what we are inside. And eventually, you can put on an act. And eventually, that's why people can make a resolution. And the resolution doesn't act very long, last very long. Why? Because the fruit's going to come out. And the cherry tree says, I'm not going to make any more cherries, but it's going to... It's just what it is. And that's why you got to change what you are more than what you do. Because if you become what you should be, you will do what you should do. And a lot of people try to get rid of the outward actions. I'm going to cut off every cherry from this tree, and I'm never going to grow a cherry again. I'm going to cut off every apple from this tree. I'm never going to have an apple again. Well, you are something. And many people get very frustrated because they try to change the things that they produce, and they don't like what they produce. However, they don't get deep enough to change what kind of tree they are. And you'll always get frustrated. Eventually, you'll give up, and you'll say, you know what, I just can't do it. That's because you continue to be the kind of tree that brings forth the fruit, and you don't want to be that kind of tree. So you got to change what kind of tree you are, and you got to plug into something else, and you got to do that. It is not good and bad people, but it's fruit of the flesh and fruit of the Spirit. See, anybody has a potential to bring forth good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, and anybody has potential to bring out bad fruit, which is the fruit of the flesh. And understand that it isn't that he's just a bad guy and he's just a good guy. No, that good guy has a great ability to bring forth bad fruit. It's called the flesh. And I can be a very bad guy, and so can you. And if you don't realize it about yourself, you're blind, because everybody has the flesh. And the flesh, the Bible says, is the enemy of God, and it's evil. And there's a fruit that comes from the flesh. Let me read you that what says that in Galatians. So the Bible says there's your flesh, and this is Galatians 5. But your flesh is in you. It's natural. It's part of you. And there's bad things. You would do bad things if you follow the flesh. If you live after the flesh, ye shall die, the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Chapter 7 and some other verses we'll read. This is Galatians 5, verse 19. It says, but the works of the flesh are manifest. They're fruit. They come out. Which are these? Adultery, fornication. So adultery is somebody else's wife or husband. Fornication is any sexual activity outside of man and woman who are married. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. See, you say, oh, the next one's murder. Well, I'm not a murderer and I'm not an idolater, but are you an envier? These are all works of the flesh. Wrath, murder, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And of the which I tell you before, as I told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit... Now is the fruit that comes forth from the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. So you're going to bring forth the fruit of the flesh, which is you're following your earthly desires, what you want to do, what naturally is there. And if you are plugged into the flesh, you will bring forth the fruit of the flesh. You will have anger problems. You will have a problem loving people. You will have envyings and strife and murder and all these things. But if you plug into the Spirit, you get love and joy and peace. It's automatically produced. It's not because you are so good. You are just like me. You are bad and good depending on what you decide to produce. And if you, and by the way, if you're not born again, you can't have the fruit of the Spirit because the Holy Spirit's not inside of you. You will produce the fruit of the flesh. And that happens, and we'll get to that in a moment. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Our memory verse, Romans 7, 18, Paul said, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So we've got to realize that there is a part of us that's very bad. It's the flesh. It's I want to get revenge. It's I want. That's the flesh. And the flesh automatically, if you live after the flesh, which means you're, that, by the way, that's the normal thing to do, live after what you want to live for and live after the natural things that you desire. I want to do this. I'm going to do this. I feel this. And the Bible says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Flesh, I'm controlling you. You're not going to control me. I'm going to make you die. And you die to yourself. You control that flesh. You put the flesh under. You bring it under control. Paul said, I bring my body into subjection. I die daily. And a good Christian, what they do, so, and I'm going to get a little ahead of myself. We'll get back to it. If you want to not bring forth the fruit of the flesh, you say, but that's just me. It is you because you're plugged into the flesh. But if you were grafted into the Spirit, it wouldn't be you. That's right. Because you would bring forth the life of God instead of the life of the flesh. So when you, what you have to do is you have to put the flesh out of control and not be plugged into it all the time. And so what you do is you die daily to the flesh. You take your body and say, you want to do this, but you're going to do this. And you do it through fasting. You do it through denying yourself. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. I want to do this. I'm not going to do this. I want to watch this. I'm not going to watch this. I want to. I want this temperature. I'm not going to have it this temperature. I want to not talk to this person. I'm going to make myself to talk to this person. You take your flesh and say, I'm going to do what my flesh doesn't want to do. Flesh, you're my enemy. You're going to bring forth bad fruit, so you aren't going to control me. I'm the Bible, as Romans 8 says, they that crucify the flesh and the lust thereof get the fruit of the Spirit. So you've got to say, I'm not going to be plugged into what I want to do. Do I want to go to church tonight or do I not want to go to? That's not the way you ask it. Do I want to be nice to that person or do I want to get revenge? Take a guess. If that person is bad to you, we know what we want to do. That's just us. And so the flesh is very powerful. God demands fruit from us, and he demands good fruit. And he's very demanding of this. And as a matter of fact, Jesus in Matthew chapter 21, he walks by a fig tree, and he says, I want some fruit. And he walks up to the fig tree, and the fig tree also has its leaves. And he curses that tree and says, you didn't bring me forth any fruit when I wanted it. You're going to be withered. And the tree began to wither and die. Which is what he says also, by the way, in John chapter 15, he says, if any branch doesn't bear fruit, they cut the branches off and they gather them and burn them. He says, a fruitless Christian is of no worth to me. I am a God who wants fruit coming forth from you. Jesus demands fruit. Just some thoughts on this. Number one, we must decide we no longer want the old fruit. We must decide we no longer want the old fruit. It says, "In even so, a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit." Let's pretend we have a tree here. Here's a tree here, and this tree is just a nasty, dark, black, stickery bush, and all it brings forth in the end are the little spiky balls of nothing. And all they do is have spikes on them, and they're empty, and just a puff of nothing inside, just a dry, dead-looking, stickery little puffballs in the end. And that's the fruit of that particular plant. On this side over here, you've got this incredible fruitful tree, and there's a bunch of different trees, and they're bringing forth coconuts, and they're bringing forth mangoes, and they're bringing forth apples and oranges and fruit. I mean, it's orange with oranges. Everywhere there's oranges on it, and big clumps of bananas on the different tree. And on the other one is coconuts. I mean, just fruit everywhere. This tree has a potential to be over here and be one of these. These trees have the potential to be that over there, depending on what they're plugged into, and we'll get to that. However, in our lives, as being this here, we've got to say, I do not want to be this anymore. I'm sick of my worthless fruit that doesn't do anything. And until you really, when I got saved, I got saved at a bad life and a lot of sin and everything else, and I had already tried the world, and I said, that's a worthless, I don't want that anymore. But many of us, so you know what? I like it. I kind of like what I bear. It's just me. And then we start pointing out all of our positives. Look, I've got 7 of those little spiky things, and mine have more spikes than anybody. And we begin to glorify ourselves and try to find the positive in ourselves. And then what we do is we pick out all of our good characteristics. And when we brag on ourselves in our pride, we say, I want to stay right here. And by the way, I want to say this. If you want to stay in the flesh and live after this world, and you think this world has to offer what you need and what you want and what's going to make the difference for your eternity, then I cannot help you. You will be able to be at help later when you find out that's not true, because you will find out that's not true. But until then, you'll just keep on trying the flesh, and you will not like the fruit that it produces. It's empty. It doesn't do anything. It's not rich and full and helpful and life-changing and wonderful and profound as serving God is. You must decide that you do not want the fruit anymore. I'm not going to have you turn to all these verses, but I'm going to read some verses, and I'll give you the references, and you can read them. I'm going to be in Romans 6 right now. It says, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Romans 7, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which are by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. The fruit of the flesh not only is empty in life, but in eternity it sends you to hell. The wages of sin is death. And he says that fruit brings forth fruit unto death. Sin is the fruit of the flesh, and it's poisonous. And it destroys your soul, and it destroys you for eternity. And one sin is poisonous. The wage of sin is death. Not sins, not murder, sin. Adam and Eve ate one fruit, one sin, kicked out of the garden, couldn't be with God. God is a holy God. No sin is in his presence ever. If you've sinned one time in your life and you have one sin in your record, when you die, you will not go to heaven. Sin brings forth death. It's completely poisonous. And that's why you need a Savior to take away your sin, because you are poisoned by your sin just like I am. Number two, the problem may be we are not saved. Problem may be we're not saved. It says a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. An evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. It's impossible. Matthew 7, and it says it in two different ways. And it says, I want to read both verses because you can see how clearly it says it. Verse 16, it says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You'll know them by their fruits." Verse 20, "Whereby by their fruits shall ye know them." I want to say something. When I first got saved, I didn't have character. I didn't have discipline. I was not a good person. I had a lot of immorality. I had bad habits. I had all kinds of things I was doing wrong. I had bad thoughts. I had bad morality. I had bad things I was doing in my life. I had bad habits. I was chewing tobacco. I had all kinds of bad things. All I wanted to do was go to heaven. And I wanted to know God. Somebody said, "Here's how you're saved." And I said, "I'd like to do that." And I got saved. And guess what? I did not say, "In Jesus' name, I receive him as my Savior. Amen." And all of a sudden, I had character. I was still lazy. I still had a can of Copenhagen in my back pocket. I still wanted to do that. I still had a foul mouth. I still had all kinds of bad things. Because I got saved did not mean instantly I was shiny clean. What it meant was the Holy Spirit came inside of me. And a really strange thing happened to me. Me, who had all the bad desires of the flesh, suddenly I got a desire in me to do right. I wanted to know the Bible. All of us, here, you know what happened? The things I used to do and didn't feel anything about before, I started feeling bad about. I said, "What is this thing, this guilt thing? I didn't know this is a package deal. I just wanted to go to heaven." And all of a sudden, because there's a person named the Holy Spirit inside of me, and the Holy Spirit said, "That's wrong. I've been doing this for a long time." He said, "It's wrong." And he started convicting me. And all of a sudden, I started having a heart that wanted to do things. And as I started studying the Bible, and I got the hunger for the Bible, and I started praying and started getting closer to God, you know what happened? A really strange thing happened to me. Out came this fruit in me that was really weird. It was called love. I was kind of a cold guy before I was saved. I grew up around cold people and rough people and hard people on the streets. And all of a sudden, they put me in charge of a bus route. And I went in a tough area. And I started trying to get those people to church. And some of the people weren't nice to me. Can you believe someone not being nice to me? And you know the strange things? You know what used to happen when people were not nice to me? I was nasty. I was really good at revenge. And I love thinking about it. You know what happened when they're mean to me? It broke my heart. And they didn't want to go be saved or serve God or let the kids come to church. You know what I started doing? Strange thing happened to this cold guy. I started going around the corner with tears in my eyes and getting a broken heart. And I started weeping for people. And I started, when somebody wouldn't serve God, it would make me hurt. And it'd make me begin to pray and fast for people. And my heart would be broken and I'd be very sad. And I began to get this thing. And I said, "Where did this come from?" The fruit of the Spirit is love. And I began to get a feeling that was much deeper, instead of the happiness I always sought from partying and going and getting the things of the world. And all of a sudden, I didn't have to go drink to be happy anymore. Because I had something inside of me called joy. And you know what's strange? I grew up in an alcoholic home. I grew up drinking since I was in fifth grade. You know what? I know. I'm an alcoholic and I have a disease, just like cancer, just like MS. I know. Baloney. Alcoholism is not the same as multiple sclerosis. Okay? You're looking at a person who, those people would tell you that, would say, I'm an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. You can put 1,000 beer in front of me. You can put alcohol. You can put Jack Daniels. And I drink everything. Put it in front of me. I have zero desire for it. Zero. And I started drinking in fifth grade. Okay? You know why I have zero desire? Because I no longer need to alter the state of my mind to be happy. It's that easy. I don't need to change the way I think and get less oxygen in my brain in order to make myself happy anymore. Because I got this thing called joy. Yes, was it because I was so strong-willed that I just quit my drinking? No, I don't need that anymore. Because the fruit came out, and the fruit was from God, it's the fruit of the Spirit, and I had peace. And peace makes it so you don't have to have everybody accept you. And so you don't have to get revenge. And so you don't have to, because your soul is at peace. You hate my guts, that's okay, I'm fine. Because there's peace inside. And long-suffering. And where did this patience come from? Why? Not because I'm so wonderful, not because I'm so great, because I got plugged into God. And I was a branch that got plugged into the vine, and the vine's life went into me, and that's the life of God. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and holiness and cleanness. And now you see plugged into the flesh, which is wrath and emulations and strife and anger and adultery and fornication. And all that was what was coming out. So in other words, it's not a matter of you saying, I just got to change and get rid of my sin. It's not going to stop it permanently. You must get plugged into Jesus and bring forth the fruit. And only he can do that. The problem may be that you aren't saved. If you don't get born again, you will not have the Spirit of God inside of you, and you can never change inside. Jesus says in John 8:44 to the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will you do. My kids look like me somewhat. Poor kids. My kids look like me somewhat. Luckily, I was looking at Becca, and she looks just like me, except for she's cute. I haven't figured that one out. And feminine, I don't know how that is. And feminine, I'm not. And my kids look like me because they come from me. And you know why? When you get born again and the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, hey, you know what happens? You start bringing forth good fruit because God's inside of you, because his Spirit starts working in you, because you want to change. Because something inside says, I want to serve you. I love you, Lord, and I want to help people. And all of a sudden, you get a love for people and a love for God and a joy and a peace. And all of a sudden, all the fleshly things start changing. And I want to say this. If you say you got saved and inside nothing ever changed and you never felt a desire to serve God, you never felt a hunger for the Word of God, the Bible says as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. You don't have to teach a baby to be hungry. And when you're born again, you naturally get hungry for the Bible. You naturally start getting a desire for God. And the Spirit comes into us. And the Bible says in Romans 8, we get the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You want God. It's natural to want God. It's natural for you to want the Bible. It's natural when you're saved for you to want to be holy and to want to love people. It happens automatically. And I always say to somebody, if you prayed some prayer and said you got saved, but you never had anything inside that says, I have a passion for serving God and I feel convicted for my sin and I want to change, then I don't believe you got saved, because the Holy Spirit, God of the universe, came inside of you. Something's ought to change. It doesn't mean you have the character or the strength to do it, but you better have the desire. If nothing ever changed and you still want to go do the old things and you don't care, and you don't care how Jesus feels about things, then you better check your salvation.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
Because the tree brings forth fruit, and it's natural to want to serve God. And by the way, many times it's somebody's pride that makes him think that they're good enough for heaven. You say, I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven. It's your pride that's telling you that, and that's a sin in the Bible. I'm not good enough to heaven, to get to heaven.
Right.
Nobody is. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Mm-hmm. All have sinned. Unless you're sinless, and I talked to a lot of people. I had one guy tell me, I've never sinned before, I don't sin. I was standing there talking to him. I was at a door. He said, I've never sinned before. I said, you never sinned one time. He says, no. And I saw his wife back there. I said, can I ask your wife? He said, nope, I've sinned. And if you ever think you never sinned, just ask your parents or ask your spouse or your roommate. They'll tell you anyway. We realize we've sinned. And anybody who wants to go to heaven has got to realize, I've sinned and I've come short of heaven. I need a Savior. That's why Jesus died for your sins. If you could be good enough to go to heaven, Jesus didn't have to die on that cross. He died because no one's good enough. All of us come short, yet he loved us anyway. And if you say, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person, you will not get to heaven because you're saving yourself and you're going to come up short. God said, you're going to come up short. That's why I'm sending my son to die on the cross. And all of your sins are going to go on him, and he's going to pay for your sins. And now the choice is simply, do I want to save myself and think I can I've never sinned and I don't have any sin? Or do I want Jesus to save me? It is not a scale that if your good outweighs your bad, you go to heaven. It has never been that. The scale is this. The soul that sins, it shall die. As soon as you sin, the scale goes. And until that first sin is off that record, it's done. You can do a trillion good things. It will not change your eternity. The Bible never one time says you can do good things and it'll take away your sins. It says the opposite. It says you're saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, as any man should boast. The only way to heaven is you say, Jesus, I am a sinner and I can't save myself. I need you to wash away my sins. Any other answer, you'll miss heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you say, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good person, you're going through you. And Jesus says, you only get to heaven through me. Salvation is something you need to make sure you have, because when you have that, at salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 and 11. And so we get the Holy Spirit inside of us. The problem sometimes we can't change, we can't bring forth good fruit, is because we never got saved. We never received Jesus Christ. You might have been baptized, might have had a religious experience, you might have been confirmed, you might have done whatever religious thing you wanted, but if you did not come to Jesus and say, I'm a sinner and I need you to save me, I can't save myself, you're not saved. You don't have the Holy Spirit and you can't bring forth a good fruit. You'll only be able to bring forth the fruit of the flesh. Next, we bring forth fruit if we are yielded and filled with the Spirit. We read the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It uses a capital S there. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 13, if ye lived after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I want to say simply, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And if you will plug into that Holy Spirit inside of you and be led by the Spirit and put the flesh to death, you will not say, I want to love. Okay, you can't will yourself to really get God's love. God's love is unconditional. Man, that person drives me crazy. I can't stand him. Okay, that's just the natural flesh. Doesn't mean you're any worse than I am. Doesn't mean you're worse than anybody else. It's just a normal thing to do. When you go and plug into Jesus Christ, he's over here, isn't he, in this story? You plug into Jesus Christ, he said, I am the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. John 15, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You plug into Jesus, and all of a sudden the life of Jesus flows into you, and you say, I just loved unconditionally my enemies. I have joy and I should be a mess right now. I used to be panicked and I feel okay. I have peace. Why do I have peace right now? I'm forgiving. Well, Jesus was on the cross being crucified and said, Father, forgive them. That's him. And you're just letting him flow into you and his fruit is coming out. It is not because you're so disciplined or strong-willed. It's because you choose to abide in the vine. You're full of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Wonderful fruit comes from God, and that's yours. Oh, you don't know how weak I am. You don't know my background. You don't know what I've done. Pastor Brian, I've done things you wouldn't believe if I told you what I've done. You would want me in a church. Trust me, we would. Trust me, we've had it. We've had it, and we're glad to have you at our church, and you won't shock me. Okay? When you say, I'm not good enough, I can never change, I can never be good enough, you can't, but God living in you can. And you might not be strong enough. And you might say, I've tried before, but you tried the flesh. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try my hardest. I'm going to quit doing this. But you're still plugged into the flesh, and the flesh is going to still bring those nasty fruits out that you don't like. Unplug from the flesh, plug into Jesus, and watch the fruit that comes out. And that's it's for being filled with the Spirit and yielded to the Spirit of God, letting the Holy Spirit live in your life. Next, you must abide intimately close to Christ to bring forth lots of spiritual fruit. I'm gonna go John 15, and if you have your Bible, you can turn to that, and we'll study that for a moment. I am so glad, because to be honest with you, if you knew me, and everybody who and by the way, people who knew me would tell you this, I was a very weak person. I was undisciplined. I was lazy and had very bad character. I was a bad guy. And I'm so glad it wasn't up to me and my ability and my strength and my upbringing and my determination to get me to become good and change. I can never do it. One of my kids asked me the other day, Dad, if you wouldn't have gotten, become, I think I told this in a service, my kids asked me, Dad, if you wouldn't have become a Christian, what would you have been? I said, in jail. That's where I would have been. I'm not being humble for a moment. I'm just telling you, I knew who I hung around. I remember I went through jail ministry, and my pastor, I used to go every week, my pastor wasn't there that week, and I went in jail. I was 18, and I preached the service that day in jail. And one of my old friends walked up to me and says, what are you doing here? I said, I was going to ask you the same thing. And I was preaching, and he was there, but he was a guy I hung around all the time. Most of my friends who hung around have been in jail a significant amount of times. Some of them are lifers, by the way. Some people hung around. They've done bad things. It's by the grace of God. It's by the life of God flowing into me that I'm anything, and I'm not much. But the life of God is amazing. You must abide intimately close to Christ to bring forth lots of spiritual fruit. John 15. Jesus says this, I am the vine, my Father is a husbandman. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's salvation, by the way. Starts with salvation. If you don't get saved, you won't bear fruit. Abide in me. That means remain right there in me. And I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. See what God says there? You cannot bear good fruit without Christ. Unless you abide in him. And then next verse, I in the vine, ye the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Verse 7, if a man abide in me, there it is again, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And we see all these things. It says this, verse 11, by the way, what fruit? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, there's a fruit, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The Bible says we abide in him and remain in him, we bring forth fruit. And got a lot of verses, but we're going to cut back a little bit and hurry. I'm going to read you some other verses here. Bible says this, wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who raised Jesus from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We are married to Christ, and we bring forth fruit like a married couple does. It's intimate and close with Jesus Christ. Bible says... Again, it says this, it says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, under the glory and praise of God, Philippians 1:11. So, I want to say this. On this side, there's a gigantic vine coming out of the ground. That's Christ. He has more life in him, more juice, more nutrition in him than every human in the world can handle. That there is enough for everybody. Over here is the flesh. Everything here is nasty and brings forth nasty, unedible, bitter fruit that nobody wants. You can at any time, once you're born again, you have the access now to plug into that. Doesn't mean you will. You might still try to live after the flesh. If you never have a desire to be over there, then you probably never got saved. But then as a Christian, it says, if ye abide in me, it says, you are clean. That means you're saved already through the word I've spoken unto you. But now if you'll abide in me, that means you plug into him, you get that branch and you graft it into God and you abide there. And that's the word he keeps saying, remain there, remain there, remain there, remain there. Because eventually you remain there and there's time for the life of God to flow into you. How do you remain there? He says several ways. First of all, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. First of all, this is the life of God. You remain in the Bible every day of your life. We have our Bible reading charts. You should read your Bible every single day, meditating on it, studying the Bible. Every day of your life, you should be in the Bible. Secondly, you pray. That's being in Christ, being close to Him, being intimately close to God. He says, you're married to another that you should bring forth fruit unto God. Listen, it is natural when you get close to God for fruit to come out. You don't will it. It just happens. Can I say this? If you will have a real prayer time with God, abiding in Christ, staying, remaining in Him, is staying in church. God says, I walk in the midst of the church, Revelation 1 and 2. He's in this room right here. You're abiding. Right now, you're plugged into Him. And by the way, the more you go to church, the more you're plugged into Him, the more you get fruit out. Your life will change. You spend time in prayer. You spend time in church. You spend time in Bible. You don't leave His will and backslide and go away from God, because guess what? You unplug, and guess what? You plug in back here, and what do you got? It all over inside of you. It takes a while to get the old stuff, the new stuff out, and then the old stuff in, and vice versa. You stay in God's will over here. You stay plugged into Christ. What? So, Pastor, I'm not very strong. I don't have much strength. I don't know how to. I can't control my temper. I can't quit doing these things. I can't. Okay. Quit trying to be strong enough. Set your determination and set all of your effort on doing what I did. And I don't know. God gave me grace and wisdom. I spent all my time fighting to get close to Him. When I got close to Him, I just changed. Fruit just came. And the old fruit didn't come out anymore. But the new fruit was a wonderful fruit. The fruit of God using me, the fruit of joy, the fruit of helping people. I had fruit to help other people, and you have that. Can I say this? You have the ability to have wonderful fruit in your life. But you've got to abide in Him and realize it's not you and your strength. It's this world that we watch. You plug into the world and watch junk on TV. You plug into the world and listen to the world's music and its morality and junk that they say. You listen and talk and hear the jokes and hang around friendships of the world. You're plugged in all week long. What fruit do you expect? Plug into Jesus Christ. There's lots of fruit. And you will say, why do I love this person so much? Why am my heart getting so tender? Why am I not cussing like I used to? I'm just not. As a matter of fact, I'm saying good things all the time. I'm blessing. I'm helping. I'm encouraging. I'm saying helpful things, and that's not me. Why? It's not you. The fruit comes from Him. By their fruits you know them. So, whole sermon comes down to this, and I'm done. I just want to say to you, very simply, what's your fruit like? Not what do you wish is like, or what do you paint your fruit as. Take that sticker and paint it. Take the sticker bush, little puffy ball there with all the stickers on it, and paint it yellow. It still isn't a banana. Not what do you wish you're like. Not what do you tell people life like you're like. Well, not what you convince people you're like. I mean, by their fruits you know them. What are you like? Not what you believe in. I mean, what kind of fruit do you bring forth? Are you happy with the fruit that comes out of you? Do you have the love and the joy and the peace and the forgiveness and the patience that comes from God? Do you have the love of God dwelling in you? That's why 1 John 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Why? The fruit isn't there. Are you happy with the fruit you have? Don't let the devil discourage you that you can't have good fruit because you're upbringing or because you're weak or doesn't matter. The hope is in Jesus Christ. Just trust me, you spend time in prayer every day with God. You spend time in the Bible. You go to a Bible preaching church faithfully. You get the world and deny yourself and get the world out of your all the time life. You will find the life of God flowing into you and say, I'm bearing fruit. Where did this come from? Because you'll know them by their fruit. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, we can be the fruitful, wonderful, happy branches. Lord, you just said, and it must be true because Jesus said it three times in just a few days in the Bible, you'll know them by their fruit. Lord, help us today, if we aren't saved, to make sure we're saved. If we might have prayed a prayer but didn't understand that Jesus is a Savior and we need Him, help us understand that today and receive Christ. Lord, if we're a Christian who's plugged in too much to the world and doesn't like some of our fruit, Lord, help us to get plugged into Jesus. Lord, help us to bring forth the fruit of holiness. It's called a fruit of the Spirit. It's called a fruit of righteousness. It's called a fruit of holiness. All these things are it's called in the Bible. That's what we need, Lord. Help us to have it. And Lord, help us to analyze ourselves honestly and ask us if we're bringing forth fruit in Jesus' name.